Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you. Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to this Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Glad to have you on board. Yeah, it's about 7 minutes after the hour. Glad you could join us this evening. It was theoretically a somber day as the nation mourned the passing of Coretta Scott King. But I tell you what, I watched a considerable amount of her funeral today, and I don't know about you, but if you gotta go, then we gotta all go. That was a great way to do it. That was going in style, beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now, okay, back up. I draw the line at Michael Bolton. Or was it John Bolton? I get my Boltons confused. Stevie Wonder, cool. Everybody else, cool. Michael Bolton, George Bush, not so much. I'm sure you know what I mean. But overall, what a fantastic funeral, and the remarks there that were made by Bill Clinton, and the remarks that were made by America's last great liberal president, Jimmy Carter, were stunning, and they were excellent reminders of what it means to have a real leader in this country. Because we are leaderless and we are rudderless now, as we sort of slop our way through the Bush administration. We don't have leaders, we have killers, which is just pathetic and shameful. And dear leader sat there during the funeral, and let's see, what did he say? He said,
Coretta Scott King not only secured her husband's legacy, she built her own. Having loved a leader, she became a leader, and when she spoke, Americans listened closely. Do you see how that doublespeak works? That's just, that's the verbal equivalent of Oakland, California. There's no there there. That's what Gertrude Stein, she was from Oakland. That's what she said about Oakland, California. There's no there there. And there was no there there in George Bush's remarks. But he had to sit there and listen. And, you know, for a petty, bestial man like George W. Bush, you know, it had to just eat his liver to sit there and hear how those gathered together loved and adored Jimmy Carter, loved and adored Bill Clinton, loved and adored Hillary Clinton, and to know all the while that him, again, not so much. Him they don't love. Him they don't adore. And most impressive I've got some sound from the funeral today for you, if you happen to miss it. And instead of trying to chop Bill Clinton into sound bites, I think we're just going to let it roll and let his remarks speak for themselves and let you hear the response of those assembled. Bill Clinton, and he was not the best president we have ever had, but he was a mighty darned good one, as presidents go. And as compared to the little pipsqueak who occupies the office now, he was a giant among men. But of course, you know that. So we've got that. We had the debate today, ongoing debate. I guess the vote may have taken place by now. Someone will have to let me know via bob@headonradio.com what the outcome was on the Senate vote regarding the asbestos bailout bill. That happened today. A $600 million giveaway for the for our corporate poisoners and polluters. Sponsored by the Republican Party. Among the most profound polluters was W.R. Grace and Company. They polluted all of Libby, Montana, poisoned all of Libby, Montana. They are a wholly owned subsidiary, of course, and you know this, of who else? Halliburton. I wonder how much Dick Cheney's deferred compensation plan will appreciate as a result of this particular deal. I frankly don't know. But I think it's safe to say that it will. So the asbestos litigation, we can talk about that. We can reflect on not only the life of Coretta and Martin King. We can do that. We can talk perhaps about the upcoming 2007 budget. We can talk about what the Medicare drug plan is doing to the tragically mentally ill. And a little closer to home, and I hear from people all over the country, and I'm getting the notion that, and I was afraid it would bore you, but I'm getting the notion that a lot of the listeners to this program who are outside of our little paradise here, West Virginia, a lot of the listeners to this program are developing a feeling of kinship with we West Virginians, and understanding. And that the ancient bigotries of ignorant and redneck and hillbilly are going by the boards. And that's a great thing. So that's another story you might want to we might want to discuss this evening. It turns out, oh golly Moses, it turns out that when Dear Leader gives those speeches and he says, "And, of course, we want to allow guest workers to come in to do those jobs that Americans won't do." Well, our good friend Judy, down at Coal River Mountain Watch, shot me an email today. Headline, "Coal Firm Wants to Hire Workers Who Can't Speak English." Ah! Coal Firm wants to hire workers who can't speak English. And, of course, the coal firm is Massey Energy. In other words, coal mining has now been added to Dear Leader's list of jobs that Americans don't want to do. Everything old is new again. Everything old is new again. What happened? You remember you don't remember, you weren't alive. But you probably might know, if you know your labor history, you might well know that when the coal thugs were first trying to break the nascent United Mine Workers, the first thing they did was to bring in immigrant, uneducated, non-English-speaking miners. Italians, Eastern Europeans. And they went into those filthy holes, and they died in the scores. And here it is 100 years later, and Massey Energy wants to turn back the clock on worker safety. Hard to believe. So we've got every bit of that coming up. Feel free to chime in any means that you might wish to do so. The phone number, of course, is 877-443-2366. Email is bob@headonradio.com. You know all this, of course. And I look forward to hearing from you. This is Head On. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at 3 times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
welcome back. You know, for just one day away can throw us completely out of sync. Agnes had a night away with basketball practice last night, so I ran the board, and now you know, God's in his heaven and everything's back to where it's supposed to be, and we're all very happy now. Minus barring a couple of screw-ups here and there by me. Let's go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed. You're head on. You want to bring him on board there, dear? There you are, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I just had some... I really wanted to compliment the lady that called in last night with so much knowledge about everything she talked about, and she needs to get with some of these knucklehead soccer moms.
I think that was CB.
I don't know the lady's name, but she sure gave a lot of good views. But the other thing you mentioned, uniting people, you can take a lot of credit for that, and it's not because you're my friend that I say that. It's because of the knowledge that you have, and that other knowledge of people are wanting to hear something besides Rush Limbaugh and Steve O'Brien. So I really, just really appreciate the unity that you bring. It's just like the talk on this North Carolina idiot down there that's shoving these people around, taking pictures of their license plate. Let me tell you something, Bob. 25 or 30 years ago, if that happened here and I had that many people, like when we had the union, that guy would have got his head cracked anyway because nobody knew what he was, who he was, what he was doing. And that, I tried to call in, but you was already too close to getting off the air. But you're talking about something that's disturbing and close to Nazism or whatever. That guy would fit right in the group.
Well, you know, the thing that's one of the things about this guy, who knows how did these people, how could they possibly know who this guy was? Sending undercover people to spy on peaceful demonstrations is bad policy, and it's bad for bad health too. There were women there. There were young people there. There were husbands who would be prone to protect their wives and their daughters.
Well, to start with, I have a tendency, if you shove me, I stomp back.
Right.
And that guy, I mean, he's just asking for it. But, you know, I gave that thing on the police and what they were worth anymore. And I'm not talking about all of them. I'm like you are. I know a few good ones that go out there to do the job and stay straight and try to help and protect the public. But guys like that have no business calling themselves in that category. That's just uncalled for. And eventually, somebody will put a blue hole in his head. And that's what he ought to have. And the cops, it's like that. You know, it's real. They're drawing a demarcation line for the people. You know, they're showing the people what they are.
Yeah, this isn't the people of the United States drawing a line in the sand. It's being drawn for us, and it's being drawn by the authorities, Ed.
Yeah, and that is so antagonistic or whatever, how you want to term it, that it makes you, you know, would like to meet them one-on-one like that. But I don't want to meet that guy, 6'3". But with four or five people, they should have stopped that, you know, because they had a good excuse. He wouldn't identify himself. But I just wanted to comment on that, and especially I hope that lady that knows all the stuff she seems to know, I hope that she will continue to participate on your program.
I hope we'll hear from her again. I thank you for those kind words, Ed, because that's the sense of community. I mean, there are people, it might surprise you to hear, I get emails about you. People love you. People love to hear from you. because you're straightforward and you say what you mean what you say. And this is an America where nobody does that anymore, Ed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, well, most of mine is, like Dr. Bill said, I had some good points, but I come from a point of anger, and I am tanked out. You know, when I have a lot of time to do that right now. If I get on the golf course, I might knock some of the energy and anger out. But right now, when I look and see the things, and I looked at that little sniveling idiot in the background up there on the front row today, lean back. He was in his, Bobby's in his own world. You talk about.
I know. He looked like he wasn't even there.
Yeah, he's. I just don't know how the people. Somebody else said, where are we at? Why ain't we in the streets?
Yeah.
But your program, you know, and more people need to tell you that to encourage you. But your program is what's uniting and informing and a counter block to the Rush Limbaughs of this world. And I just want to let you know that.
Well, I appreciate that, Ed. It does mean a lot. I just sit here and run my mouth.
Well, you're running your mouth to a lot of good educated listeners, and I certainly not including myself in that bunch. All I can say is ouch. You know, what they're doing hurts, and it angers me. But these people have got questions and answers both. And it's just good. It's just really good to listen to the people call in there. And I'm going to continue to do that, the good Lord willing.
Well, Ed, I got to share this with you. Just got an email from CB who called last night, and she says she loves you right back.
The lady? That,
yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, I'll be talking to you a little later, Bob.
All right, you take it easy, Ed. Have
right.
a great night.
All right, thank you.
Bye now. Okay, quick break. Your phone calls, of course, always welcome. Well, we're gonna. I can't reinforce this enough. I'm serious when I say conversation radio. We're gonna have us a talk. Is that all right? I hope it is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Between heaven and earth, there's a ballroom floor where couples fly in the evermore, dancing through the clouds, laughing in the
my scars. You can't see children's scars.
When you put it in the back of your mind that it couldn't happen to you, you wouldn't let it happen.
Starting a new life, thanks to help, because if help wasn't there for me, I'd be out on the street with my kids.
Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. When I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I had an unforgettable mentor who believed in me and encouraged me to pursue my dreams. Today, there are millions of children across this country waiting for a mentor to help them. Improving the world starts with one child. Please, become a volunteer mentor for Mentoring USA Give children the chance to develop and flourish and share in the future that belongs to them.
Ouch. 27 minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is a Tuesday night edition of Head On. And, you know, jump in the conversation. Whatever's on your mind, you're welcome to talk about. 877-443-2366. And bob@headonradio.com is the email. Like I said last night, I don't know who the wiseacre is who did this. They probably thought they were annoying me by signing me up for the Newsmax.com news digest. But you know what? It's a fun, albeit scary, and makes you kind of want to go take a shower when you're done. Way of looking into the right wing Republican mind. Top headlines from Newsmax.com. Don't go there. Don't spin their hit counters. There's nothing there. You know, those are not the droids you're looking for, all right? But top headlines. Bush Nation mourns passing of Coretta Scott King. Bush lambasted at King service. Okay, I'll do this so you don't have to. Bush lambasted at King service. You want to hear what constitutes lambasting? Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton blast Bush at King service. See, I'm not that smart sometimes. There are people out there for whom the world is a big chess match, and they're, you know, they've just moved the pawn and they've already figured out mate. And today was one of those occasions, because I said last night that it just absolutely hung in my throat like a chicken bone, the thought that George Bush would show up for Coretta Scott King's funeral today. But, see, there are people who are so much smarter than me. George W. Pinhead had to sit there today and listen, and this in particular was the remarks by Jimmy Carter. He had to sit there and listen to the remarks by Jimmy Carter as he laid into Bush without ever even so much as mentioning his name. In a nation gone absolutely rabid dog mad with war, Jimmy Carter reminded us that Dr. King tried to teach us, as did his wife, that there is, in fact, another way.
They overcame one of the greatest challenges of life, which is to be able to wage a fierce struggle for freedom and justice, and to do it peacefully.
You hear that applause?
It is always a temptation to forget that we worship the Prince of Peace. Martin and Coretta were able to demonstrate to the world that this correlation was possible. They exemplified the finest aspects of American values and brought upon our nation the admiration of the entire world.
Did you hear that? George Bush heard that. He had to sit there and listen as Jimmy Carter explained to him that God, that the God that the people that follow him think they worship, that he's the Prince of Peace. He's not the Lord of War. You see, George Bush thinks that Jesus wants him to kill just a few more innocents in Iraq. And Jimmy Carter reminded him that that's not what America is about. And more importantly, you know, because you got to remember, Dear Leader said that my favorite philosopher is Jesus H. Christ. Well, if that's the case, you haven't studied your favorite philosopher very much. And Jimmy Carter made it abundantly plain today, we worship the Prince of Peace. It must have burned. It must have just burned George Bush's hide, assuming, of course, he was listening. See, that's the other side to this. You can invite him to all kinds of places. You can take him to meet the Pope, and the Pope looks at him and says, don't start this war. Yeah, screw you, you old guy in a dress. He'll do what he wants to do because that's the thing his followers don't understand. He's not a follower of Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter. He's not. He's just simply not. But then, after reminding Dear Leader of exactly what he's not following, then Jimmy Carter drove the nail home.
My life has been closely intertwined with that of the King family. Our first ceremony together was in 1974 when, as governor, I dedicated Martin's portrait in the Georgia Capitol. Joe Lowry and others were there.
Wait for
which
it.
Was surrounded outside with chanting members of the Ku Klux Klan,
the Republican Party,
who had too much support from other Americans.
Republicans.
The efforts of Martin and Coretta have changed America and were not appreciated even at the highest level of government.
Oh, boy.
It was difficult for them, personally, with the civil liberties of both husband and wife violated as they became the targets of secret government wiretapping. Other surveillance.
Preach it, Brother Jimmy. Testify. Testify, Jimmy, testify. You see, that was like the death of a thousand cuts. Secret government wiretapping. Oh, that had to go through Dear Leader like a dose of salts. You know it just did. Let's go to the phones. Bob's been waiting. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello, buddy.
How are you?
Standing up.
As long as you're standing. Every day above the ground.
Been there, done that. Too many times. Now it's time. I was looking for that cabbie-eating guy down there. What's his name, Wayne?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that Serbian. Or...
Yeah, our resident Serb.
Yeah.
The old Serb who talks to young Turks.
Yeah. Yeah, the old Serb talks to young Turks. Well, hey, guess what?
What's that?
Life is too short to play games.
I agree.
Okay, let's not play games then.
How so?
It's time to get serious. Some people say, and that's how they do it. Some people say, it's not, I know someone of importance that knows something of knowledge. It's always, some people say. Remember that one, Bobby?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a game they play. And they've been playing it in the Senate. They've been playing it. And they've been playing a game. It ain't a damn game. It is life. And it's important. It's important to Agnes. Oh, I love her. I just do. Because she's more...
Yeah, believe me. Believe me, Bob. I missed her last night.
I know you did. I was there. I didn't mean to call tonight, but I had to.
That's all right.
I just had to get in the game.
It ain't a game.
That's right. It's life. And it is life. And it's life for your children. And these people, they're playing games. See, it's numbers with them. It's always the numbers. How many dollars, how many bucks did you make on the game? Hey, Bobby, you were talking about it. Yeah?
What yeah. was
that? The Steelers had a couple of points over the what? Who cares about the guys that lost? They're always, we won. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the same thing. We ain't trying to win the game because there's no game to play if you get the hell out of the game. Bad word. I said hell.
Nah, it's okay. Don't sweat. Don't sweat the little stuff.
Well, it's the truth.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here, Bob. You know, and I think you get it. Clearly, you get it because what we're trying to start here is, and I get a little riled up, and I get a little mean from time to time, but we're trying to.
I love you when you're mean.
This is the national conversation, Bob, that we must have. You know,
yeah.
we do it. You know, we do it from our little studio here. You participate. We've got hundreds, thousands of very good friends who are trying to initiate this conversation that might tear us away from our case of national attention deficit disorder and focus on the things that matter.
Yes, it is national attention deficit disorder. Yes, we're always worried about the national. What is us? We're a nation, right?
Yeah.
We're not a nation anymore, Bob. We gave that up so long ago that they wave flags and they come out with their pretty little, I don't know, what is them yellow tags they stick on the back of their SUVs that make them patriotic? They have no idea. They have my darling. Oh, my goodness. My darling Agnes, she has more patriotism in her little toe than they have in all their being. Because, hey, the funny thing is, we're going to get back to this. What is the meaning of is?
Okay? Oh, no, not that, Bob, not that.
Let's go back to what the meaning of is, okay? Let's go back to what really it means, okay? It means that one particular particle of a seemingly I'm trying to talk about democracy in what the meaning of is. No, it has nothing to do with that. It means that we have people within our being, not within our party or within our country. It's just people that think that they're not pond scum. And I told you about that.
Yeah, we talked about that last night, sure.
Yeah. Pond scum is pond scum, and that's what they are. They're just something that just takes life out of everything and gives it to themselves. It does not nourish that which is below.
So the point or the idea, I guess, Bob, is that the pond scum you're talking about is a relatively small minority in this country who want it all for themselves. You know, the 99% of the wealth in this country is controlled by 1/10 of 1% of the people? Something on an order like that.
And you know, so the idea of the conversation, the idea of the national discussion, not debate, discussion, is to talk to people and help them to understand that they're not being, you know, that they're not acting in their own self-interest. You know, we talk about free markets and capitalism and yada, 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 and the, but one of the tenets of that is to act in enlightened self-interest, I think, according to Adam Smith. And we're not doing that. So many Americans, there is no way, it is physically impossible for these so-called family values Republicans to get elected to office if people vote based upon their own enlightened self-interest.
Ah. On their self-interest.
Right.
But what is self-interest? It's just, I am the center of the universe.
Well, that's, yeah, in theory, or you know, if I've got to keep myself alive, I've got to be prosperous, I've got to do for me. I guess that's some people's definition of self-interest. For me, self-interest entails not just me, but the idea that I prosper, I do well when my neighbors do well.
Bob, I want to talk to that Serb that likes to eat that stuffed cabbage. You know what? There's something in it, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing in thinking that I am the center of the universe. I would love to meet Wayne. I really would. Because, you know what he's got in common with me that you don't have in common with me?
What's that?
He's ugly and old. And you are young and strong. And I'm asking the...
But I'm ugly!
Huh?
But I'm ugly.
Well, I don't know. Well, all right.
That's why we're doing radio here, Bob.
I sent you a photo of me and my lady.
I saw that. What a marvelous photograph.
I ain't that marvelous and I ain't that photographic. But that was me and my lady back then, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm running out of battery here, and I got to give you this, okay?
Uh-huh.
No, you got my address, you got my phone number.
Sure.
And if Wayne, oh, God, I'd love to just have a conversation with him on a, I don't know, out there on a lake fishing for walleye or maybe trout or whatever the heck you got down there, in, you know, in your country. But let him know that he's welcome to call me.
All right, I sure will. I absolutely will. We've got to hit our break, Bob.
I hear you, buddy.
And you're running out of juice.
I am. I sure am.
You take it easy.
You. Oh God, son, I love you so much, and I love your lady, and I would love to meet you. And
well, maybe someday if things get profitable enough, we'll take the big road trip.
We ain't worried about big road trips. I'll come down and see you if I. Figure out where you're hiding out there in the mountains.
It's way up a holler. You take it easy, Bob. Have a good
night.
Bye.
Love
now.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, quick break. We'll come back again. Your calls. You know, let's talk tonight. The world wasn't exactly shaking at its base. You know, just the same old horror, death, damnation. And frankly, sometimes it sort of gets under my fingernails, and I'd rather just yak. This is one of those nights. I'm Bob. I'm chatty.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, You know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
You can't see my scars. You can't see children's scars.
We always put it in the back of your mind that it couldn't happen to you. You wouldn't let it happen.
Starting a new life, thanks to help, because his help wasn't there for me. I'd be out on the street.
Six and a half minutes before the hour. Email in from our buddy Joe in Iowa. Bush lambasted? How about people telling the truth? I didn't see all of it as I have actual responsibilities and all types of other adult things. Yeah, don't they just bite, Joe? But I was fortunate enough to hear Mr. Jimmy Carter speak. He is a truly religious and moral man, and all he did was tell the truth. He actually met Mrs. King, so he may have an idea of what he's saying concerning her. It's unknown, at least to me, if W ever met her. If he did, he's undoubtedly more familiar with Abramoff than with her. Bush was sitting with a blank stare on his face, so who knows whether he paid any attention at all to Mr. Carter's remarks. Oh, I know, that's the other side of that coin. All that genius may have been for naught, because he was sitting in that chair, and for all I could tell, I don't know. Maybe inside Bush's brain it's just a 1 kilohertz test tone, 24 hours, 7 days, beep, nuclear, beep. I don't know. I need to clip my toenails. I mean, that may be the way his brain works, for all we know. But yeah, it wasn't lambasting. And the Newsmax article was complaining about a service at Ebenezer Baptist Church where Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson spoke. And all they said was, they said things like Bush bungled Katrina. Well, dadgummit, he did. You can't pretty that one up. Let's do go to the phones. I said I was feeling chatty, and I am. David's calling from near Nashville. Hey, David, you're head on.
Nina Hagen.
Exactly. 99 Luftballons.
I couldn't resist. Oh, well, anyway, let's play a little pop quiz, and, I may end up getting drug out on this one, but who are the two worst businessmen to ever be in the White House?
Oh, maybe Warren Gamaliel, Harding, and Bush?
Well, actually, I vote for Harry S. Truman and Bush.
Well, okay, sure.
But there's a contrast here. Bush failed at least three times that we know about. Relatives, people in Saudi Arabia, and God only knows who else bailed his ass out.
Yeah, one of the few men ever to be able to dig a hole in West Texas and not hit oil.
Precisely. But
that's like dipping a bucket in the ocean and coming up dry.
Exactly. Or just sand. The definition of a dry hole. But Harry S. Truman opened a haberdashery shop. It failed, and he paid all the losses back.
Yep.
So there's a slight difference. Now then, another pop quiz question. Under whose guidance did Halliburton have the worst period of their entire corporate history?
Dick Cheney.
Cha-ching, we have a winner. I just get that man a toaster.
Well, that's what this whole asbestos thing is about. One of Dick Cheney's great coups was the fact that he engineered the absorption. You know, they're like the Borg. You know, the you will be assimilated. He engineered the takeover of a company that was absolutely neck deep already in asbestos litigation.
Exactly. So he will always owe those corporatist greed mongers. And do you know the story behind the acquisition? Do you know how it happened?
No. Do share.
There was a guy that was head of W.R. Grace and it had within it Johns Manville. Johns Manville is really the asbestos poisoner of the Western world.
Yeah.
They are the ones that put the insulation around every Liberty ship in every house east of the Mississippi. They are the guys that they actually pioneered putting asbestos in the filter of Kent cigarettes for the first year of their manufacture. I'm not. That's a
true story. Oh God!
It's a true story.
They engineered the inclusion of asbestos in Campbell's cream of mushroom soup.
Maybe they did.
Oh, God.
Now then, the old boy that was head of W.R. Grace was this good old boy who had a reputation for coming out on top. Now then, Cheney being gouged in the butt by all of his cronies at Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and all the rest of them, you know, about make the company bigger, make us more money. Well, he decided acquisitions would be the thing. So, some way, somehow, he decided that this asbestos monger, the one that everybody else knew was up to their eyeballs in lawsuits, he decides they're undervalued.
Yeah.
He schedules one of his famous duck hunts, and he takes this W.R. Grace guy. He takes the guy with all the bad losses. He takes him duck hunting. And a few of the old-timers said, look, that's a good old boy on the other side. If you're going to do business, when you leave the room, count your socks, five Furman dicks. They duck hunted for 2 days, and Dick Cheney bought the company. And
I liked it so much, I bought the company, yeah.
Exactly. And so nobody on that side of the fence, until about 5 years ago, has forgiven Cheney for losing bazillions of dollars. He has owed them. By their estimate, he will always owe them. So
$600 million should help, shouldn't it?
It's going to go a long way. Why do you think they spent all that money resurrecting that cyborg and re-embalming that guy so he could continue to talk? That curled lip came from formaldehyde.
Oh, you're killing me.
Somebody needs to put...
You brought the A-game tonight, David.
Somebody needs to put one more 9-volt in that chassis to watch him become a breakdancer.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, breakdancing dick.
For $1.19 at any Walmart, 1 9-volt ever ready, and there he goes. Look at him.
He keeps going and going and going.
Oh, my
exactly.
God.
Well, I just, you know, Bob, I hadn't called in a while, and I just had to call in and just be totally frivolous, but maybe there's a point underneath it. But we got to be careful. We got to be serious. We got to be vengeful. And there's a bunch of so-called Democrats, rollover crats, I said to you in an email once upon a time.
Oh, yeah, rollover crats.
We got to track them down and kill them.
What? Agent Fred, he was only kidding. He doesn't even own a gun.
But I wasn't kidding about those Chesapeake Bay title cards.
Oh, but, you know, I mean, you talk about rollover crats. There I was, so proud of Patrick Leahy yesterday because he, you know, he just blistered torture boy Gonzalez. You know, are you doing that? Are you spying on people's email? You doing that? Are you listening in on domestic phone calls? You doing that? You doing that? Just hammered him. And what do I get today? I'm listening in on C-SPAN, and there's Patrick Leahy standing up for the asbestos bill.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
And Harry Reid comes on later and says, you know, gosh, I just love you, Pat Leahy, but we're going to part company on this one because it's a poison pill.
Of course it is.
Well, Harry Reid's the minority leader. I mean, when you get to, is this like systemic problem inside the among us among the rollover crats? When you're a minority leader, don't you get to haul the minority chair of the Judiciary Committee in and say, Pat, buddy, you're not for this bill. You're just not.
You're supposed to herd the cat. You're supposed to stack the marbles, and Reid ain't doing it.
Oh, God. Yeah, he just can't. He's only got one handle on that wheelbarrow full of frogs.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Well,
David, thanks so much.
By the old clock on the wall, it looks like I should shut the heck up.
I tell you, thanks for the laugh.
You betcha.
And I offer you that on behalf of the entire audience.
Thank
you. Stick another 9-volt in Dick Cheney and watch him break dance. That one's hanging around for a while, David. We'll talk to you later.
Popping and locking. See you later.
Bye now. All right, quick break, then we come back with hour two. Is that all right by you? I'm off my root beer kick. I'm onto the big orange now. Gotta get ice. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
You can't see my scars. You can't see children's scars.
You always put it in the back of your mind that it couldn't happen to you. You wouldn't let it happen.
Starting a new life, thanks to help, because his help wasn't there for me. I'd be out on the street with my chip.
was strolling through the crowd like Pete DeLauro contemplating a crime. She comes out of the sun and a dumpster.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Alrighty then, 7 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, our nightly little dust-up among us liberals, progressives, us decent people, you know. And whatever you've got on your mind is appropriate food for thought as far as I'm concerned. 877-443-2366 is the phone number. Email to bob@headonradio.com. I had an email from our good friend Mitch in the San Francisco Bay Area. Some interesting thoughts that he sent along. He said, I'll be able to listen to the first half hour tonight, and if the Knicks game ends early, I might be able to catch the last hour or so. I'm sorry, my brother, but we all need somewhere safe to go where we don't have to think about the horror for a couple of hours, and the Knicks have been that place since I was 12 years old. I am in complete accord with that idea. And we've got our own thing. I mean, you know, we live in the middle of a natural paradise. There are hiking trails around here that are just breathtaking. There's a place not far from here where literally five generations of my family have gone berry picking every summer. Places where you can get out and you get to think about things besides how desperately the Republicans are screwing up our country. You know, because when you're out there berry picking blackberries and raspberries in the summertime, see, I'm already thinking about summer. You can't spend a lot of time worrying about George Bush because his cousin, the copperhead snake, is just a couple of feet away from your toes. You got to be a little bit alert. Let's go to the phones. Gene is calling from Oregon. Hey, Gene, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Going good. You?
I wanted to call and talk about Medicare today, or Medicaid.
Okay, great idea.
We talked about this in the conference I was at, I'll tell you about it. Three changes are going to be coming up in about July 1, I believe, of this year.
Okay, and this is in Medicaid?
In Medicaid, yeah, and this is on the national level.
Okay.
Okay, number one, it used to be that if you had to go on Medicaid, you had to check back and see whether or not you'd gifted anything to anybody within the last 3 years.
Right, the look back, sure.
Yeah. Well, they're increasing that to 5 now.
Right.
Okay, so maybe you knew that.
Well, I had heard it was coming. Is it official now?
Apparently. The other thing is for Medicaid, it wasn't means tested before. It is now. And what they're doing for that is now if you own a $500,000 house, or I guess the administration is giving them the state's $750,000, you know, an extra $250,000 leeway, you're not eligible.
So if you've got a roof over your head, you don't dare get sick.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I need to back up for a minute on that, Gene, because here in West Virginia, a $500,000 house is darn near a mansion.
Yeah.
So I've got a localized mindset. There are places in this country where a $500,000 house is four sheets of cardboard and a little bit of Saran wrap over the top.
Yeah, like California or Arizona.
Sure.
Okay, and the last one, and it's the most controversial. See, before the way it worked is once you got on Medicaid, once you applied for Medicaid, it would even if it took a little while, they'd start from the day you applied, so it was retroactive. Now you have to prove citizenship, which means that you're going to have either a passport or a birth certificate. Now, this not only applies to the immigrants, this also has to, for us natural-born Americans, whatever you want to call us, every year for the recertification process, you've also got to have. So if you get a birth certificate.
Every year you have to recertify?
Yeah, for Medicaid, you have to recertify every year. So at least for the first time, you'll have to have a birth certificate with you. And so, or a passport. Now, they might allow a baptismal font or a family Bible. But if you don't, I don't know about you. I'm after some of the hassles I've seen friends go through, I've got a copy of my birth certificate. But if you don't have one, and you've got to get one, and it's from another state, like, say you were born in New York or someplace back east, and you're out here or so whatever, that means you got to do this by mail. You got to pay the county fees, that kind of thing. And it's,
sure.
So there might be an issue.
Well, you know, and people generally who are applying for Medicaid don't have just a boatload of disposable income, do they, Gene?
No, not really.
And so $15, $25, $50 for a birth certificate?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's food. That's food for a week or so.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that voting ID thing that everybody was should still be upset about, you know, having to have go buy a voter ID in order to vote, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but and so there was that, and a couple other real quick things. You probably knew that in the budget reconciliation process, the Democrats were completely shut out.
Oh yeah, not even allowed into the discussions.
Right. The other thing that they're doing, what the Bushes have done in order to dampen opposition is, they've snuck things into the bill to say, we're going to cut, say, like here in Oregon, we're going to cut your timber allowance for counties that that get money for working things around timber. Like, instead of not cutting timber, the county will let it stand and we'll just reimburse you for the money you might have gotten.
Uh-huh.
They're going to cut that out. So basically... The state delegation is going to fight for those kind of things, and therefore the national issues around Medicare and other things like that are going to be kind of short-staffed because each state will be, having to fight for their own little piece of the pie.
They have become expert, have they not, Gene, at turning us on ourselves?
Yeah. One last thing.
Sure.
Ask, and I can't say a lot about this because I don't know what I'm supposed to, what I'm allowed to say, but ask, see if you can find the West Virginia delegation to the White House Conference on Aging. Ask them how they were treated.
Okay. West Virginia delegation to White House Council
on Aging.
Okay, I will.
And ask them how they were. Sorry.
That's okay. It's all right.
Ask them how much input they were allowed to give.
I will try to find that out. And I know that there are people in this audience, Gene, who know the answers to that question as to who they are, and we will find out how they were treated. Are you privy to some sort of information as to how perhaps your delegation was treated?
Well, yeah. Let's put it this way. Couple of things. First of all, we local advocates, we've been mad for quite some time, but now you're seeing anger even in the state bureaucratic levels at the cuts that are being proposed. I mean, it went from shock and depression to no outright anger. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Of course, it's the White House, the Council on Aging, you know, Conference on Aging.
Right.
So you would assume somebody from the White House would be there. Now, these are held every 10 years. And in the last one, I guess, according to the people that were there, you know, Clinton showed up and Gore and Hillary Clinton and Gore came back. And there was a lot of participation. This time, no one showed up, and President Bush decided, while they were there, to give a speech in the same neighborhood to a gated community of seniors on his Medicare prescription drug program. So he wouldn't show up at all, and it's a majority Republican conference.
Oh my God!
And even the one nice part about this is, even though the most of the delegates there were Republican, it was a pretty, you know, bipartisan or nonpartisan stuff they put through. They absolutely rejected privatization of any sort of Social Security and Medicare.
Uh-huh.
And those were mostly, like I said, they were mostly Republicans. I guess the New York delegation was pretty mad, too. They were so upset they kind of, the conference MC or the conference, whoever runs the thing.
Yeah, the facilitator.
The facilitator, they threw the petition they'd signed at her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's pretty, that's some of the stuff I'll try and, yeah. Send me back to Agnes. I want to talk to her for just a second.
Okay, sure thing, Gene. No problem. Thanks for calling. We sure do appreciate it. If you'll just put Gene on hold there. There we go. This is, of course, what Gene is talking about is going on all over the country. I received an email from a friend about a noted musician in Portland, Oregon, passing away this past week. The gentleman was a giant in the music scene out there. Had been favorably noted by people like Kurt Cobain, and one of the band's songs was recorded by Pantera for, I think, the movie The Crow. Fellow was 47 years old, passed away last week, and casually mentioned, not casually, but just as a matter of course, in the obituary was the fact that cause of death had not been established, but he had been suffering from a cold and this is a quote from the obituary, an untreated kidney infection in the past couple of weeks. Stop on that for a couple of minutes. An untreated kidney infection. And I don't want to hear that right wing garbage spin about how, well, you know, and you hear primarily it comes up when people are talking about the homeless and trying to find an excuse for ignoring them. Well, they choose to be that way, Bob. They want to be homeless, you see. We can't force them to have a home because they'll just leave their home because they'd rather live on a sewer grate. That's what makes this America, that's what makes America great, Bob. Don't you understand? It's a free country and you are free to be as poor and miserable as you want to be. Don't you get it, Bob? An untreated kidney infection. Ever had one of those? It hurts. Bad. And so when you've got one that's untreated, it's not because you just decided to live with your kidney infection. It's because you couldn't go to the damn doctor. And we are busting our butts to make sure that more and more and more and more people can't go to the doctor when they need one. Ah, you're poor. You just need to die. You're in the way. Headline, 2007 budget favors defense, not Medicare. From the Washington Post. Let's rewrite that headline, you and me. What do you say? How about 2007 budget favors bullets over food? 2007 budget favors missiles over midwives. 2007 budget favors bombs over butter. That's the America that is being created as a direct and proximate result of the manifest sickness of George W. Bush and his ugly, hateful, heartless, soulless cronies.
Mavis, he's calling names again. Come quick. Probably be on the Baptist in a minute.
Guess what? Yeah. Sure. The Baptists and the Frisbeterians and anybody who is out there who is not absolutely beating the damn door down over what is about to be done to us. I guess maybe it was Friday night I talked a little bit about what our second district in West Virginia Congresswoman Capito did to America with her vote on the House Budget Reconciliation Bill. Do you remember that? Darn thing passed 216 to 214. Had she done the right thing, it would have been 215, 215, and they would have had to gone back and take another look at it. Ministers and social workers and people who are concerned about the health and well-being and the future of this country were arrested outside the Capitol building for protesting this god-awful budget that was put together by the Roy Blunts and the Tom DeLays and the what's-his-name Boners and the rest of the truly sick Republican death orgy cabal. It's coming. It's passed the House. It's under consideration in the Senate. I mean, this is from Sunday the 5th, so it's talking about something that went down yesterday. President Bush plans to propose a $2.7 billion budget tomorrow. $2.7 trillion budget. Can you count to a trillion? Not in your own lifetime, you can't. $2.7 trillion budget tomorrow that would shrink most parts of the government unrelated to the nation's security while slowing spending on Medicare by $36 billion during the next 5 years. We're suddenly going to start getting healthier, so therefore we don't need the Medicare anymore? I mean... And it's the same thing as the guys, and you started hearing it in the Reagan administration, and it's just stayed part of the stinking mantra for, these 26 years. The business about homeless people choosing to be homeless. You've heard that? And then you hear, frankly, it's one of those rubber brick moments, it really is, and... Our buddy Jeff in Pennsylvania is working valiantly on those rubber bricks. I want everybody to have a rubber brick. But when I see some dude, like, say, Denny Hastert, the guy makes Orson Welles or Raymond Burr in his girthy prime look like devotees of Richard Simmons. You know, this guy's huge, really jowly, and Denny Hastert. What we have to do
is have some budget cutting and belt tightening in America. That's what we've got to do. Got to tighten our belts.
Hearing some fat-ass lobster eater. Now, I like my lobster, too, but, I mean, we're talking about the guy, you know. Hearing one of those guys tell me that I got to tighten my belt. Hey, Denny, buddy, I'll tighten your belt. It's obscene. It's Marie Antoinette with the whole let them eat cake thing. What, they have no bread? Well, let them eat cake. It's George Bush at the grocery store during the presidential campaign against Bill Clinton when he was completely blown away by a barcode scanner. What the hell does this thing do there, Barr? We're being told by people who are utterly out of touch with what it is to be middle or lower class that we're the ones who have to tighten our belts. You don't feel so good? You got an untreated kidney infection? Die! Just die! Get off the rolls! Get out of the way! That's where we are. The budget will contain an increase of nearly 5% in the Pentagon's funding for next year. And a $35 billion cut in Medicare. Somebody ain't reading their Bibles. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Last September, in an article I wrote comparing America to ancient Rome, I wrote that in giving up their power as citizens, the Romans asked only that the emperors leave them alone, that the civil service would keep the roads in repair, that there was food enough to eat, plenty of entertainment, and that they could be free to live their lives in peace as long as they posed no threat to the elite class. But of course, if history has taught us anything, it's taught us that no matter how much money or power people have, they always want more. The Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their financial backers are a greater threat to the U.S. than terrorists like Osama bin Laden because they're operating from within the system in order to loot it. But the people who have forsworn politics are their enablers. They either don't know or don't care about what's going on. They just want to live their own lives and not have to worry about what's going on in Washington or elsewhere. And I doubt that any of us can convince them that they could make a difference if they wanted to. What happened to Rome didn't happen overnight. Rome was a republic for many years before it became an empire, and if America's going to fall as the Roman Empire did, it won't be any time soon. But if it does, it'll only partly be because of the power of the corporatists who control the Republicans. It'll happen because we allowed it to happen. As I've said before, we can be citizens or we can be subjects. The choice is still ours. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday, and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine. Will I keep on
get to the doo-wops. Oh, that's not the doo-wop part. Okay. All right, 26 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through tonight's Tuesday night edition of Head On. Yeah, I get a little bit miffed when I look at things like Republican budgets. Does it make your eyes cross to think that, you know, we're gonna prop up some multimillionaire defense contractors by taking away from poor people who have no other means of getting medical treatment? I mean, one of those? I mean, you know, the Yosemite Sam swearing, the flag, blasled neck, frass and dackalack and marsh and deck, flag and... So some dude can pay off his Aspen condo a little bit quicker. You know, the fourth home. And then what Gene said about the look-back provision that they're planning for Medicaid, absolutely, and Medicare, absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I talked about this, a year or so ago when they started bouncing it around. Here's how it works. If you want to get, if you have to apply for Medicare, let's say you're the 60-something child of a 90-year-old parent who's been getting along okay, but the lights are going a little bit dim and mom can't get around the house the way she used to. She's really frail. She has to hang on to things. You know, she the things that make Americans enter into that god-awful contemplation that usually starts with something like, what are we going to do with mom? Now, that's another one of those that you just have to let roll around in your noggin for a little bit. Can you imagine that question? What are we going to do with mom? What are we going to do with dad? When you were a baby, they never had that conversation. What are we going to do with Junior? Craps all over himself night and day. What are we going to do with him? Because they knew that you'd grow out of it.
And that if they just kept working and kept teaching and kept guiding and kept loving, that you'd turn out all right. And we're so, you know, we in the middle class, we in the lower class, we are so caught up. We don't have any damn choice. It's set up this way. It's part of the gig. We don't have any choice. You gotta work and work and work and work. And you're not working to get ahead. Oh, hell no. You're working to stay afloat. You're working to keep one nostril out of the water, baby. And you don't have time. You don't have time to sit around and worry about crazy stuff like the future. And so since you're not worrying about the future, you're worrying about the present, you're living for today, the future sneaks up on you before you even know it and whacks you across the back of the head with a 2x4. And it's there. And you're asking questions like, what are we going to do with Mom? And maybe Mom owns her own home. And maybe Mom, in her sanity, looks at you and says, listen, you know, I want to stay at home for as long as I can. Here's the deal. You take care of me. You get the house when it's all over. And so she does a deed. And she deeds the house over to you so that it won't pass through her estate and be subject to the whole probate freaking nightmare. And a year later, she slips, she breaks her hip, she winds up in a hospital, and she goes from the hospital to the nursing home. And suddenly, you are screwed. Because Medicare doesn't look back 6 months. Medicare doesn't look back 13 months. They look back 5 years. And if that transfer happened 4 years and 364 days, Medicare can invalidate the transfer and take it all away. You understand what? Of course you do. This isn't just wrong. This isn't just your average garden variety level of Republican meanness. This is really extra special, double plus bad. This is. I hear people saying, "Oh, someday there may be another civil war in the." It's already going on. And so far they have managed not to use too many bullets or too many bombs. No, they're using what they're best with. They're using the laws that they write to destroy you. Okay? There are farms. And I talk from the perspective of West Virginia, but my God, it's West Virginia, it's Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, Alabama, my God, Iowa? The Great Plains, Kansas? Missouri? The old family farm up the holler in the Ozarks in Arkansas? That was homesteaded 200 years ago, maybe? And it's passed down in the family generation, yea, verily, unto generation. And that stands in great, dire risk of being broken. We have a Congress that is willing to contemplate eliminating Paris Hilton's inheritance tax. And at the same time, they turn around and look at poor people and people just getting by and people who have guarded the land based on some assumption that they lived in a free country. and have taken tremendous pride in passing it down year after year, generation after generation. And now we have an administration in Washington run by a hateful little man who has never, ever in his entire life had to deal with any of these questions. And they say, well, you're going to have to tighten your belt a little bit. Yeah, get me another one of them. Get me another one of them hummingbird tongues over there. You know, I mean, Medicare's got a right to come get your property. It ain't doing you no good anyhow sitting there in the nursing home. You know, I talked a little bit last night about, who is he? Alabama Congressman Robert Adderholt. And how he had a little fundraiser that Dick Cheney went down there. Stick another 9-volt in him and watch him break dance. Oh, I love that. Sat in a horse barn with their feet in the horse poo. Eating a rubber chicken dinner for $250 a plate to listen to Dick Cheney talk about America's future. When all over Alabama, family farms and family homes are jeopardized by Bush administration policies and a hateful belt-tightening Medicare budget. Disgusting. In total, the administration plans to assert that the new budget would keep the government on a path to reduce the federal deficit by half between 2005 and 2009. Pardon me just a moment.
There wasn't a damn deficit when Bush took office. He made this. Why? Why, in the sweet name of Jesus, why do people who didn't make his deficit have to pay for his deficit? Explain that to me, because I'm apparently too dumb and too simple to comprehend it myself. Why? Why does the generation that saved Greece during the Second World War for our fight against fascism and drove on Maypop worn through damn near see-through tires for years on end, couldn't buy a new car, and rolled bandages? Why does that generation have to have everything it took its entire life build and accomplish? Why does it have to have it taken the hell away from him because George Bush had to have himself a damned war that he couldn't afford in the first place? Why? Anybody got any answers? Is it just that he's an SOB and doesn't give a damn? I mean, is it that easy? I don't like the man. I despise the man. But I can't get it through my silly little head that's what it boils down to. That he's just a mean, rotten, dirty, filthy little punk who doesn't give a tinker's damn about anybody that he's not related to or who hasn't given him a donation. Is that what it is? I'm afraid that it is. I am truly afraid that that's what it is. He's just mean. He's just that guy that bumper sticker's talking about that you see on the back of the old Subarus with the deadhead stickers that says, mean people suck! He's just mean! They get a giggle out of this!
I think it's fun when we watch the poor people suffer.
Damn them! I'm going to take a break. Yeah, I think I will. This is Head On.
For a moment.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. When I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I had an unforgettable mentor who believed in me and encouraged me to pursue my dreams. Today, there are millions of children across this country waiting for a mentor to help them. Improving the world starts with one child. Please, become a volunteer mentor for Mentoring USA. Give children the chance to develop and flourish and share in the future that belongs to them.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so...
oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
In my big orange, gonna try to step back, but
How do you feel if you come home and the door's been jimmied open and the silver's gone and your great-granny's collection of 1892 silver dollars is gone? What do you do? Do you sit there and, well, darn it all, it's gone. Easy come, easy go. Or do you start trying to think, let me find that little bastard that broke into our home. Just let me get my hands on him. Which do you do? Do you empanel a blue ribbon commission? Or do you try to track him down and take back what's yours? I know that you share my grief and you share my anger and you share my frustration. Excuse me. I know that you share that. And I got an email here from our buddy Jim in New York. He says, everyone is totally up in arms today about this horrible budget. This could bring it to a head. What a mess that little coward has created in our great country. What a mess indeed. And with regard, a few more details about the guy I was telling you about. God rest his soul. I got an email that says, when we were in Toronto, this gentleman, like I said, was a musician. We were in Toronto for 36 hours in 1987. We had time to look around. We all noted how clean it was. We all noted how skin colors mixed and were blurred relationship-wise. Pig, the guy's nickname was Pig. Pig noted something else. He said, the winos don't have the edge ours do. Yeah, Tom, nice, isn't it? Well, if he has bronchitis or a green stick leg break, he knows it won't kill him. Lot to be said for proper medical care. That is your right. And the correspondent writes verbatim, among many, this observation of his struck and sticks to this day. Punk forever. Name of the band was Poison Idea. I think some of their music's still out and about there. You might want to check some of it out. Let me see what's going on here. Oh, okay. Let's go to the phone. CB is calling. Hey, CB, you're head on. CB, Agnes, dear, yeah. Works better when she pushes the little button in.
Oh, okay. seems like every time I call, something goes awry there.
Well, last night it was entirely my problem because I was the one screwing up. But there's just a whole bunch of buttons here, and it's all so terrifying.
I know. It gets so you need a teenager to usher you into the third millennium.
Yeah, we need a staff.
Yeah. If I weren't on the complete opposite side of the continent from you, I'd volunteer.
Bless your heart.
I got to know about you during the filibuster for the filibuster, and I was delighted. My ears were vibrating happy. I was grinning in the middle of the night listening to you talk to everybody. It did my heart good to hear a hillbilly talking sense.
We don't have much choice around here, CB. It's a hard scrabble existence, or that's where we come from, a lot of us.
Well, you know, for my whole life, I've been, you know, I'm what's known as a hip neck. It's a cross between a redneck and a hippie. And I come from a dairyman stock. So,
okay.
You know, so
yeah, up at 3 a.m. and the little three-legged stools and yeah.
The whole works. And so I talk to a lot of people who just don't seem to get how they're being screwed by the government. And this is, you know, forever, but now it's at a fever pitch. And so
What? Forgive me, CB, but what in the world is not to get?
What?
What's not to get? I mean, I comprehend what you're saying. I talk to people who don't get it, and I come away from it sometimes wondering, you know, do I only think I'm speaking English? Am I blathering along in High Martian? What is it?
Well, I think that a whole lot of Americans are used to, you know, at least us older Americans, you know, middle-aged and up to the old age, are just used to believing what we were taught in school. And we just can't really even believe our eyes or ears when it's coming at us out there. The whole switch, the thought that this exalted America could turn into a fascist country just doesn't compute. It just, you know.
Well, and part of that, CB, is the fact that we think that they've got to have the really nifty uniforms to really, you know, like, you know, you got to have the secret handshake and the lodge high sign and the really cool black uniforms in order to be a fascist. That ain't so.
Yeah. And now, who's that wonderful sports writer for, like, the New York Times, very famous, and I can't remember what his name was, but right as W was running for office to begin with, he was pointing out to everybody the parallels between his speeches and Hitler's speeches.
Oh, my heavens.
And, yeah, I mean, clear back in 2000 he was doing that, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse, And now, today, my pet peeve is I go over to C-SPAN's page because I want to watch Gonzalez getting grilled, right?
Right.
And all I can get is yesterday morning's session, and I wanted to see yesterday afternoon's because I was expecting Feingold to, you know, have a cow on him.
And he did.
And I can't get it on the video archives, which is I rely on those because I need to steel myself for this.
Uh-huh.
I can't exactly be there as it's happening all the time. So then in the middle of the night, I can go watch it, you know, and stop it if I have to go pant, you know, whatever.
I know exactly what you're talking about. No, it's down the memory hole. See you later.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, is it every time W gets humiliated, we don't get to see him anymore? It's blacked out is evil.
Well, have you ever had the opportunity, CB, to compare, for instance, you know, and really, this is one of those things that make you question your own lying eyes and ears. You hear dear leaders say something absolutely incomprehensible. And you say, wow, you know, I did that happen? And you go and you look at his transcript at whitehouse.gov and it's all prettied up and cleaned up.
Yep.
You ever seen that happen? It will drive you absolutely bananas.
Yes, and that's another thing that attracts me to your show. It's called Head On. For my life, have been accused of being sort of a headlong person.
Yeah, well, I don't see. I mean, that was very deliberate in the naming of the show because, it's got a double layer of meaning. You know, we're going at it, you know, full bore, you know, real Casey Jones style, you know, all valves open. And the other side of it is the joy of talking to people like you and so many others who have their heads on, firmly affixed to the tops of their necks. You know, it's not a bunch of, you know, this is not the dead from the neck up ditto hour that you get if you listen to Right Wing Hate Radio.
Yes. And boy, we need you to talk back too, because you know you try and talk to your friends and family, and a lot of times they just sort of will go, yeah, and then you know try and change the subject or something, and you're hopping mad, and they're just going, mellow out, and like, no, America's going down the drain.
I'll be mellow when I'm dead.
Right.
I don't think you can get any more mellow than that.
Yeah, and there are people, me, out there who really, really need to have a place where somebody's talking turkey. Because and you were talking yesterday about, you know, say it in the grocery store lines. Well, I go on all the liberal blogs and make comments or read the comments, and every time something awful comes out, like in the middle of December, we find out that the president's been eavesdropping on all of us, and then everybody gets all excited, like, oh, good, this is going to bring that jerk down. But then there's always one or two or three in the comment section who start going, oh, God, he's going to nuke Cincinnati now. You know? And I'm going, God damn it, if
you're in Cincinnati, put on your suit and, you know, stop them.
Yeah.
You know, and, but these, that's part of how come they're so successful is because they are scaring people so badly. And also, another point that I'd like to make right there.
Go ahead.
Is that even people who insist that Osama bin Laden did 9/11 and it wasn't an inside job or nobody knew about it or stuff, even those people, they're the ones who come out and say, okay, now Cincinnati's going to get nuked or the Golden Gate Bridge is going to fall into the sea. So subconsciously, they believe the administration did that to us.
I've never heard it put quite that way.
Well,
but that's exactly it, CB.
Yeah. And
there is an undercurrent here of disbelief about 9/11 that is very close akin to the sense of that we have about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
That the numbers don't add up, and I think that's a beautiful way of expressing that, and I wish that expression could get a little bit more traction.
Well,
we're trying.
Yeah, I hope. Because people really need to sit down and think about that one.
Well, do me a favor if you don't mind, and boy, this is the
anything you want.
This is the shameless part of the program.
Okay.
You say you go to those liberal blogs. I don't know that this show is going to appeal to those middle of the road people that are still busy wondering about what's going to happen next week on Desperate Housewives. I don't think I can talk to them. But it, you know, if you go to those liberal blogs, mention the show if you don't mind. I would be so appreciative because.
Actually, I'm already quoting you on those, so I will.
Heck, I didn't know I was quotable.
I never heard. I've heard every permutation of the word Republican, but I'd never heard Republican, and that's my favorite one. So I've been saying Bob Kincaid calls them Republicans. You know, so I should say Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio, which. I think really we got to get you some kind of a grant from Soros or somebody with a lot of money because I don't want it. I don't want all the commercial breaks with you. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think
don't think we can do conversation radio with that kind of old style formatting.
Exactly. So
we've got to get outside of the box.
Yes, we definitely got to get outside of the box. That's what I'm hopping up and down. There's more ways to skin a cat than this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
CB, thank you so much. What a wonderful conversation.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you, and bless your heart. I'm now listening to you every day. People can't call me while your program's on.
That's okay. I'll send out apology notes if you'll just give me the addresses.
Okay.
You take care, CB.
All right, you too.
Bye now. Okay, quick break, and then we'll come back with the rest of hour number three. God, I love you guys.
Lying in bed with the radio on, moonlight falls like rain, soft summer nights spent thinking of you. When will I see you again? Soft and low, the music moans. I can't stop thinking about you, thinking about you.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
This really does get to feel like family after a while. And Agnes with her Bob's a Stalker bumper music going into the break. But a bunch of emails just rolled in after that conversation. CB herself recalled that it was Jimmy Breslin. Jimmy Breslin had it nailed from a long way back, and I miss him. I miss his ability to what's the new political term? Yet triangulate. And our buddy John Fox down under also notes that it was Jimmy Breslin. One of these days we'll mail you out a rubber brick when you guys catch one of those. When we get the big George Soros grant. God, that'd be nice. It would be. It would be very, very nice. Because I want everybody in on this conversation. Let's start here. Figure out how it is we get through to the Desperate Housewives crowd. And then, somehow or another, beat these bastards back into the nasty, dank, wet, stinking, slimy, the holes they crawled out of. You know, whether it's the budget, whether it's... I said at the top of the show, I'd give a little bit of mention to this. And as I said at the top of the show, one of those things that drives me nuts, you know, and he did it again in the State of the Union address, and it's one of those things that just, it makes, you know, you squint and the little, you know, the stabbing, you feel like an aspirin commercial. You know, it's that stabbing little pain that starts right here, and it goes over the back of your head like that. Yeah. That dear leader talking about the jobs that Americans won't do, don't want to do. And there's no sense in going into that whole explanation. You know why Americans don't want to do those jobs. Those jobs, you know, we're the hardest working people on the planet. We really are. We don't get the vacation time that Europe gets. We don't get the health care that Canada gets, or Japan. We don't get the employer loyalty to the employee that the Japanese get. Hell no, we get jobs where you pay into a pension for 30 freaking years, and the company turns around, files bankruptcy, and the next thing you know, you're not a person anymore, you're a damn liability, and you get canceled. Oh, no. So those jobs that Americans won't do now apparently do include coal mining. Dateline Pikeville, Kentucky. Citing a declining work ethic. See, you can't get out of the first sentence before the coal bosses are beating up on the hillbillies again. Citing a declining work ethic and drug problems among eastern Kentucky workers. Oh. Workers. A Pike County coal company has asked the state mining board to help make it possible to hire non-English speaking miners. Current Kentucky law requires that all miners be fluent in English for safety reasons. Now, see, here's the part that if I was a real smart aleck, I'd talk, but I won't. For safety reasons, but the president of Sydney Coal Company, a subsidiary of course, Massey Energy, has asked for assistance in jumping that legal hurdle. Yeah, it's not a safety hurdle. No, hell no. It's not a safety hurdle, it's a legal hurdle. Just like pensions are a legal hurdle. A document distributed at a late December board meeting by Sydney Coal Company President Charlie Bierce? Burse? Rhymes with hearse? struck a raw nerve in some quarters for the degrading terms it used regarding Kentucky miners. Quote, "It's common knowledge that the work ethic of the eastern Kentucky worker has declined from where it once was. Compounding the worker shortage problem is that attitudes have changed among the existing workforce, which affects attendance, drug use, and ultimately productivity." You'll notice in there that this sleazy SOB didn't say anything about it affecting worker safety, because they don't give a damn about worker safety. And there's nothing in here talking... Is he talking about the work ethic of a union coal miner? Mm-mm. He's talking about the people that they treat like animals in the first place. Hell, you'd have a little OxyContin problem or a little meth problem too if every day you walked into that dirty, stinking, filthy hole that, you know, they don't give a damn about safety. Welcome to Sago. Welcome to Alma number one. You'd want a little something taking the edge off too. I think that hiring Hispanics is going to do right now is create problems all over the coal fields, and we don't need that at this juncture, said UMW official Steve Earls of Madisonville. Gary Ball of Inez, Kentucky, a former UMWA miner who edits a local newspaper, says it's not a shortage of workers. They want cheap labor. Massey brags in its TV ads about its average pay of $50,000 a year. What they want is somebody to work for $6 an hour. What else could it be? Is anybody curious about this? Now, you know that Massey Energy is business partners with the International Coal Group, who, through their negligence and hateful, gross, reckless conduct, allowed the Sago disaster to happen. Right? Sure. Now, in the investigation phase of that disaster, some of the miners at Sago have designated the United Mine Workers of America as their representatives in that investigation. And you may rest assured that that scares the International Coal Group to the depths of its very soul. Because that cuts in to the International Coal Group's executive body. That cuts into their caviar budget for the year. So, as a consequence, with some of these non-union miners at some of these non-union mines finally beginning to look up and say, well, you know, they don't have all these accidents. They don't seem to have all these accidents at union mines. They make as good a money as we do. They got pensions. They got benefits. And they can turn in safety violations when they see them in the hole. Maybe we might want to be a union shop. Right? That's going on. That is happening. So what do I get? Massey Energy wants to hire... I mean, let's face it. You will not find me bigoted against anyone. I don't have time for it. Life's too damn short for me to waste hating anybody but George Bush and his cronies. And enablers. So I don't have any time to hate some dude from Mexico who wants to come here because there's an opportunity to put food on his family here. I don't have time for that. But let's face facts. Here, let's boil it down to what it really is. This article tells us that Massey Energy wants to be able to start hiring illegal aliens and putting them in the pits. And putting them down those holes in the ground where people yelling, "Help me," in Spanish will fall on deaf ears.
I mean, isn't this an interesting response to the West Virginia legislature and our governor putting forward new rules about rescue teams and mine safety and hearings held in the Congress of the United States about technology that's 20 years old that non-union coal companies still won't use in their mines? All that's going on, and Massey responds by saying we'd like to start hiring illegal aliens. What is that intended to do? What is that intended to do? That is strictly and purely intended to scare the people who are currently working for Massey into taking less money. God knows, into making sure that they never talk to a representative of the United Mine Workers of America. And it is meant to intimidate them into never mentioning the deadly conditions that exist down inside Massey deep mines. Because if you do, you'll lose your job to an illegal alien. And our friend Judy at Coal River Mountain Watch, who sent me this article, she said it's just like the lines from the beginning of that movie Matewan, where they said they'll bring those foreigners in and they'll die like flies in that hole. And they will. But you see, what Massey is counting on is that as long as it's not our neighbors, as long as it's not our friends, as long as it's no one we care about, as long as it's somebody that the right wing already has us prepositioned to hate, we won't pay quite so much attention when they do die like flies in those hellish little holes. As long as, you know, it's them, those people, they. Well, hell, they'll be illegal aliens anyway. They won't even count as dead. They weren't in that hole. For the moment, law trumps any regulatory change by the mining board, said Kentucky Coal Association President Bill Kaler. But it really is just a matter of time. I think this is just the first shot across the bow in trying to adopt this. Sidney Cole has, quote, identified Hispanic workers who want to come to the area and train to become miners, said the document that was given to the mining board. The company's objective is to attract workers to the area who, quote, have the necessary work ethic, unquote. In other words, so damn scared and desperate that they won't dare speak up against the bosses. See how it works? Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Let's go to the phones. Haven't heard from our good buddy Fritz in New Mexico in a while. How you doing, Fritz?
I'm hanging in, Bob. How about yourself?
Yeah, a little, pretty much.
You know, I listening to you just reminded me that I finally picked up The Corporation, you know, the documentary this weekend, and watched it. And it's just, you know, people need to see that because they need to understand that that bottom line, that serving the stockholders, just takes precedence over everything. And that's why this crap that you're talking about with the mines happens. Because there's just, you know, there's never any thought to anything else. And you think, you know, people will ask, well, don't these guys have enough? How much is enough? How much greed is enough? And the idea is that that concept just doesn't exist in their vocabulary. The concept of enough does not exist.
No, they don't know the meaning. There is no surfeit for them, Fritz. There is no point at which they say, I've got enough.
No, because it's, you know, it's like this singular motivation to just to pull it more and more. And you know, and there's no thought to the commons. You know, Tom Hartman often talks about the commons and how corporations use the commons. And they do, of course. They use roads, they use water, they use all of that. And it's like, that's why this whole idea of not taxing them or giving them tax breaks is just the most ridiculous thing that the Republicans have done economically. I mean, of all the things they have done, this corporate encouragement of corporate greed and getting away with, you know, with not being taxed, it's ludicrous.
It's mean, it's cruel, and it's dumb. Fritz, it's dumb.
It's dumb, and it's unfair to everybody else in the nation. You know, it's just unfair. You know, and I hate to sit here and sound like I'm being squeamy about it, but, you know, I really, really feel like the only way to deal with this is to get someone back in power, a group of people back in power that understand that, you know, that regulation of these corporate, that unfettered capitalism just does not work.
No, well, I think even Adam Smith went so far as to say that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did.
There are passages in The Wealth of Nations that make it clear that if you just let this horse have its head, it's going to run itself till it drops.
That's exactly right, Bob.
And we've got people in power now, Fritz, who honest to God believe that they want to run that horse that way.
They do. They do. And you know, you and I and the common man on the street, the common working person, just does not understand that, you know. And that's why I urge everyone to get the DVD, rent the film, and watch it, because, you know, it's a documentary. It's not going to excite you. You're not going to get into a thriller plot, but it is going to explain step by step and very clearly why that thought pattern exists.
I've heard a little bit about it, Fritz, and the person who wrote me about it, I can't remember who it was, said that it was surgical.
It is. That's exactly. That's very, very well said. It surgically dissects the anatomy and physiology of why it is that when they're unfettered, it leaves the common working person and the society at large.
Is it available online? Do you know?
Excuse me?
Is it available online?
I'm not sure, Bob.
Okay, but it's the corporation.
The corporation, and I just happened to go to my video store. And a friend of mine had seen it and said, "You got to see this." And you know, it's well worth everybody's 2 hours. It really is.
And you know, of course, you live in civilization, theoretically. So, but if it's in a video store in New Mexico, odds are it's in a video store all over most of America.
Yeah, I think pretty much it's out there. It's released,
okay.
And it may be available online. I didn't check, but probably if you Googled it, I'll bet you know.
And certainly through Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, certainly through Netflix.
Okay. Well, Fritz, I sure do appreciate it. Getting through the winter okay out there?
Yeah, we're desperate for precipitation, but, you know, the temperatures are nice, but I don't know what the heck we're going to do when fire season comes around.
No, brother.
We're going to be facing some desperate stuff, and, you know, there's enough airheads around that'll flick their cigarette butts out and not think about it. So, you know, we're crossing our fingers, but how you guys doing?
It's a bizarre little winter. You know, we get an inch of snow here, and then it's 70 degrees the next day.
Yeah, well, you know, fluctuation, and I want to let everybody know that, you know, people say, well, you know, it can't be global warming because, you know, it gets cold, too, and it's fluctuation. The planet, when you perturb a system, what the system's response is to fluctuate. This is basic cybernetics.
Yeah.
You know, the negative feedback regulation of the system, what keeps it around, you know, that constancy is not operating well. And the planet is telling us, because of the fluctuation, that it is not happy.
Can you believe that we're a couple of months away from hurricane season starting again?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, it might have been you who said that yesterday. Someone said that. And I said, oh, my God, can you imagine what's going to happen?
Well, the Atlantic and Gulf of Mexico water temperatures haven't dropped.
No. Well, that's one of the properties of water is that it retains heat. It doesn't give up heat very easily. Yeah, they're in big trouble because that temperature is going to feed some vicious storms. It could be worse than last year. It most probably will. I don't know what New Orleans is going to do. I think New Orleans is over. One of my favorite cities.
Yeah, mine too.
In fact, my second favorite city behind New York, where I grew up, really, I think. And, you know, one of my favorite cities to visit. I'm very, very, you know, very, very sorrowful about this.
And that, well, and bear in mind, they'll just brownie it again. And, you know, you're scientifically oriented, Fritz, and I've got something here that just drives me nuts. I found it on I can't remember the blog I found it on. New spokesman for NASA.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything about this?
No, I didn't.
Bush has put another brownie in charge of communications for NASA. This guy was, he was allegedly, yeah, here it is. He was allegedly a graduate of Texas A&M University.
Yeah. No, huh?
Nah, he's a fake. He's a brownie. Guy's name is George Deutsch. And he's part and parcel of the new effort to keep NASA from, and the reason I thought about this was the conversation we're having. The reason he was put in place was to squelch any information coming out of NASA about catastrophic climate change.
Oh, great. Just what we need. You know, that's what they do. This is what they do.
Yeah, never. Yeah, and for him to sit there, could you put yourself through the State of the Union? Did you?
No, I got to tell you, Bob, I saw snippets. I just couldn't do it. I could not.
He sat there talking about science and how we got to have more children taking science classes.
Oh, yeah, I heard. I heard the reports about it. Yeah.
And to turn around. These people hate science. I mean, these people are straight out of Inherit the Wind.
Absolutely.
You know, these are the people who really believe that the sun, that, you know, Jeremiah or Joshua or whoever made the sun stand still. You know, that somehow or another it's not heliocentric, it's, you know, terracentric.
Yeah, you know, we're still going to fall off the edge of this planet someday, Bob. You know? Good God.
I'm scared to death of it, Fritz. Yeah. You take care, brother.
I'm scared to death of this new guy in charge of NASA, and, you know, and I'm scared to death for the next bunch of folks that are going to be depending on foams that hold out and, you know, and don't fail on them. God forbid.
God forbid.
Yeah, well, all we can do is say a prayer at this point. I'm trying not to let my anger get the best of me.
No, but...
you know.
Yeah, I know.
I rely on you for that.
I'm glad to be of service, Fritz. You take care.
Yeah, you too.
All right, later.
Bye-bye.
Good talking to you. The Corporation. The Corporation. Check it out. I'm gonna go looking for it. Now, I hear the music. Break time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
They ask me, how are you? My true love was true. I, of course, reply, something here inside cannot be denied. Oh, no. They said someday you'll find all who love are blind. On fire, you must be alive. Smoke gets in your eyes. So by chance, then.
If you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
Speaking of thievery,
yes,
just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right,
yes,
he died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
All right, 25 minutes before the hour, 22 minutes or so to get your last licks in. I got an email, and I want to protect identities, so in this particular instance, because I don't want anybody getting in trouble. The email says, my son just called. He said an AP News item came in. He's doing an internship at a TV station in West Virginia. You guys look for this, okay? I haven't seen it yet. I'd love to see it. I don't have to, if you find it, please share it with me, because I'm sure we can have a complete aneurysm about this tomorrow night. The email says, an American soldier was wounded in the arm, and his protective armor had to be cut off. Okay, so far. The military refused to discharge him until he paid for the armor.
What?
Yeah, the military refused to discharge him until he paid for the armor. His buddies took up a collection. They had to take up a collection to pay for the armor. Are American families, you know, like the guys that get blown up in the armor, are they getting a bill? I don't even want to think about this kind of stuff. His buddies took up a collection. If you find it, send it to me, please, the story. Bob@headonradio.com. I thought I would just sort of share that with you. And a couple of other remarks real quick from our buddy Jim in New York. The video is available on BuzzFlash, and it gives a few bucks to their site when you buy it, talking about the corporation. It's available as a premium at BuzzFlash. Supporting BuzzFlash is always a good idea. So, lots of different ways to get your hands on the corporation. Okay, and ahoy, matey. Arr, I be downloading it now. Arr, I'll be sending it to ye. Yarr! and our buddy Rick says, hi, Bob. You do remember how Bush put an end to torture in Iraq and Afghanistan? He outlawed cameras. Jesus. Holy cow. He outlawed cameras. Oh, God. And another video worth mentioning, our pal Andy in Wales reminded me of this. I heard a little bit about it last night on the Malloy Show. You know, we got 24 minutes left in the show. It's 24 minutes till Malloy, as far as I'm concerned. But I was listening last night, and someone mentioned the documentary. It's called Loose Change. Mike mentioned it. They'd watched it over the week. We watched it through the kind efforts of our buddy Rick, who sent me the link to it. Go watch. Yeah. Here I am telling you what to do. I get so embarrassed when I do that.
Please.
You know, and I'm not gonna say yay or nay about 9/11. I don't know. I know about the phone call that we got here when the Shanksville jet went down in Pennsylvania. We got a phone call from our buddy, the air traffic controller, and he told us that plane was shot down. Okay. But there is ever so much more in this video. It's an hour long. You will not be disappointed. Watch this thing, because suddenly it doesn't feel like a conspiracy theory anymore to think that Operation Northwoods, you know, and Agnes and I talked about that too. Operation Northwoods, it really happened. The CIA went to John F. Kennedy and said, "Look, you know, we hate Castro. We want to get him out of there. We'd like to control Cuba again. Here's what we do: we bomb an American city and we blame it on the Cubans." And we put Cuban stuff all around to prove that the Cubans did the bombing, and then we get to go to war against Cuba, and the next thing you know, Cuba's ours again. This isn't with the black helicopter hovering outside the house. This happened. Operation Northwoods. Go have a look. Okay? And it's hard to watch this video and not come away thinking that, you know, it's the CIA, for God's sakes. The Bushes have been involved in the national security structure since the national security structure was born. Okay? As such, is it too surprising to think that maybe the Bush administration would sort of blow the dust off of Operation Northwoods? Not for me. Not for me. So if you want to watch Loose Change, you can go to Question 911, the word question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, and then the numerals 911, question911.com, and you can go from there through the links. It's in three chunks, and you can download Loose Change and watch it, and I think it will spark some conversation. Let's go to the phones now. Our good friend Peter's been hanging on. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
You know, okay.
Peter in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what you're just talking about, the Northwood Project, you're right, it's not the first time that the government, secret agencies have planned an attack on the United States to further a cause. And I have no problem at all believing that that's what happened with 9/11. I really don't. I resisted it for a long, long time.
I did too.
At this point, I there's absolutely nothing that I would put past these people. It is so un-American and so not for us. And you know, this thing about that, cutting the armor off that guy, my God, man, I hope that one day that there is some accounting of the billions of dollars that have been diverted into Bush and Cheney's pockets by Halliburton and Caliburton. We're not supporting those people at all.
Well, here's the story. Our buddy Larry sent it in. The last time, do you mind?
No.
The last time First Lieutenant William Eddie Rebrook IV saw his body armor, he was lying. Oh, my God, this is a West Virginia story. Okay, it makes sense now. Last time he saw his body armor, he was lying on a stretcher in Iraq, his arm shattered and covered in blood. A field medic tied a tourniquet around Rebrook's right arm to stanch the bleeding from shrapnel wounds. Soldiers yanked off his blood-soaked body armor. He never saw it again. But last week, Rebrook was forced to pay $700 for that body armor blown up by a roadside bomb more than a year ago.
Now, this was the faulty, not good enough for Halliburton body armor.
I'm guessing, yeah. This is the stuff with the ceramic plates.
Right.
He turned in his gear at his base, that's it. And the link is to rawstory.com, so you can find it at Raw Story. We've, you know, they're friends of ours.
Go have a look. I mean, my God, Peter.
It's amazing. And we're living in a time where grandma under Medicaid goes to a nursing home. Medicaid takes care of it. Medicaid can come back and take their take the family farm or her little house, whether it's worth $20,000 or they have $90,000 value. Who knows what small, but a nursing home is going to eat that up in a heartbeat. They take, fine, get old, that's fine. We'll just take everything you have.
Well, it kind of makes you, it's always some sort of pop culture reference with me. This flashes me back for the old lyric from The Who, hope I die before I get old.
Well, yes, this is true.
I mean, what indignities, Peter, are these creepy, god-awful little monsters not willing to foist off on the American people?
Well, I'll tell you what they're foisting off now, the complete unfunding and unconcern after, you remember Bush's staged nighttime event speech down near New Orleans.
With the shirt that matched the lighting?
Yes, and there was a breeze blowing and the lights in the background. Nobody was allowed. I think some guy got arrested for walking by. There was some story, but that's beside the point. In any case, he was pledging to help rebuild. Did you know that the mayor there, what was his name?
Nagin, yeah.
Right? He's had a steady stream of foreign dignitaries through there, and he's at this point seeking international assistance or foreign aid to help rebuild New Orleans because the United States isn't doing
it. We're broke.
Now, there was a time when I would have been highly embarrassed that the United States would ever be in a position to request foreign aid. But hell, Bob, we're held in such low regard throughout the planet. What difference does begging for foreign aid help?
Well, and the fact there was a time when I would have been embarrassed about it too, Peter. But this time, I'm incensed.
Yes, that's more the way I feel. It's outrage. It's way past
embarrassment. The people of New Orleans deserve help. They are our fellow Americans. But that's the thing, Peter. They're not George Bush's fellow Americans.
That's right. That's right. Well, Nagin had King from Jordan. Was it Abdullah? Whatever.
Yeah, Abdullah.
Right, right. And he was in New Orleans on Friday, and he said he was going to encourage a foreign interest to help redevelop some of the areas of the storm area. At this point, even talking about dividing New Orleans into various districts for, like, France to help rebuild an area.
Yeah, like the way we divided Berlin into zones of interest.
Well, there you go. And of course, for whatever reason, there seems to be a close spiritual or at least cultural tie between New Orleans and France. I think France took this pretty badly that New Orleans was damaged so badly because of the heavy cultural influence,
right?
And what have you. And France is talking about getting involved too. I hope to God that they do fund reconstruction of New Orleans. And I hope it's a headline news in every. I mean, if nothing else gets their attention, the pride of the ignorant people in this country, the pride, I'm right, and Bush was sent from God, and glory hallelujah, we're safe, and glory hallelujah, we're American. The pride of those people, I hope that this slaps them into the damn gutter.
Well, you're absolutely, yes, and it's okay to feel that way.
Well, I do. I'm so damn angry, I could piss up a rope. Sorry.
it's okay. I want talk about shame and noses being rubbed in it. I want George Bush's nose rubbed in it. I want, I want some news. We had that brief little tiny blip on the journalistic radar screen where even Fox News people were getting pissed off about what was going on after Katrina, and then it's gone. I want this to rise to a level where someone will finally speak the truth and look square at the camera and say, George Bush, you are a failure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Won't you please just get out of the way and let somebody competent get in here and start fixing the mess you made? He's turned us, he's turned us into a third world country. He's turned us into a debtor nation.
Well, that's true, Bob. And I'm just after reading that, pride is really the only way to ever get to these people. It's all they've got, ignorance and pride. And you can't fight through their ignorance because they're so pre-programmed. They're not going to listen to their... It's like they say in AA, everybody can be helped except those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. Well, that's where they are. They're constitutionally incapable. So the only way to get to them is via pride.
You know, what's that first step there? What is it when the Republicans break down and go to their 12-step group? Hi, my name is George, and I am powerless over cronyism and corruption.
Oh, I don't know. Hi, my name is George Bush, and I'm powerless over Satan, and I've been sleeping with him for years, and I take it.
Oh God! If he started his confession, it would go till the day he died. If he lived to be 150.
Oh, the man is full of the devil. I mean, you're the father of lies and the son of lies, and it goes all the way back the Bush family, generation after generation. Oh. And they say hillbillies are stupid. Give me a break.
I know. And did you catch any of Mrs. King's funeral today?
Bob, I'm sorry I didn't. I was kind of multitasking, and I've only been reading what's been coming through from
I love running sound bites when I've got somebody to talk to on the line about them. Hold on just a second, because I said I was going to do this evening. You got a minute?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've got all night.
Okay. I want to run a little bit of this. This is and it's not necessarily for the content. I want people to be reminded what it's like to have a president who is actually loved.
Okay.
This is Bill Clinton's remarks at Mrs. King's funeral. First of all, listen to the applause. It's like the Beatles are there.
That's real applause. That's the real deal.
That's stadium applause.
Absolutely. That's amazing. That's all 6,000 of them. That's what I read today, 6,000 people.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
Way to go. And Bush must have been choking on it.
And Bush is just standing there, just sort of doing the little golf clap.
I'm astounded. It's still going on. Bush must have been squirming.
Oh, yeah. Now listen to a pro work the crowd.
Wow. Wow. This is making my day.
I thank you for that wonderful reception. You may not feel like repeating it after you hear what I've got to say.
What a genuine man.
Bishop,
I didn't like him.
Yeah. Mrs. Bush, Yolanda, Martin, Dexter, Rev. We are honored to be here. I'm honored to be here with my president and my former presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a Hillary thing.
Wow, Bob.
They've got this at canafun.com. They've got this at canafun.com. You got to go watch this.
He claimed that he was at a disadvantage because he was an Episcopalian. And then he came up here and zings old Larry like he did. I thought that ain't bad for one of the frozen chosen. He's done it.
Bob, I've got to see this, dude.
It is so special. Peter, it is absolutely so special, and I'm sorry to take up the time of your phone call to share that.
I'm glad I got to hear that. I missed a lot by just reading the Truth Out reports. I do need to see that.
It's magic. It goes on, and he just moves the crowd along with him, and they love him, and they respect him, and they adore him. And
imagine that, a man who speaks in complete sentences and from the heart.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's got to, the comparison of it's like an abyss. The comparison's amazing.
Well, and to you'll see it. There's a couple of camera cuts to Bush.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're worth every pixel they're printed on.
Well, you know, I've got to see, because I could use a little cheer me up. I mean, you know, it's not that I get depressed; I just get so damn mad.
Yeah, and tired. It's weird. This is weary business trying to tell our fellow Americans that we are in the middle of a nightmare from which we must awaken.
Yes, and they are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. You want to strangle them?
Or take them to a meeting.
Amen, brother.
Peter, we got to get out of here, brother. Thanks for sharing your time with us.
Thank you. Thank Agnes. Thank you all. And I'm so glad you're getting callers like GB. You know, you attract I'm not among the best and the brightest, but.
Oh, yes, you are.
You attract the best and the brightest. I'm so proud of you, I could bust.
Oh, bless your heart, Peter. Everybody who participates in this show it feels like family.
Well, it is family. As weird as we all are. I love you guys.
Later. We love you too.
Good night.
See ya. It is. It's like family. And that was the sense that you got with Bill Clinton's appearance at the funeral today. I'm not gonna goon on him. I'm not gonna talk about what I didn't like about what he did as a president. He was there. He was genuine. He was real. And when he was president, yeah, you know, the left, he wasn't liberal enough. The right, God knows, he was breathing, and they were upset about that. But it was, in a way, America was a lot more like family then. And even with the Dan Burtons of the world out in Indiana in his backyard shooting watermelons to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster, it was more like family, wasn't it? Because there they were, the weird little loony right-wing fringe Republicans, and they were, you know, they were like, you know, the old uncle at Thanksgiving who goes to the end of the couch and drinks beer and mutters to himself for the rest of the day. But somehow, as loathsome and as much as you hated them, somehow you just went, well, you know, but they're Americans and we'll get through this, and, you know, we'll just ignore you and we'll make things better. And then it all went to hell. It all went straight to hell. But I think if you go to canofun.com, canofun, canofun.com, you'll be pleased watching those remarks. And we didn't get to the remarks of Joseph Lowery, and wow, those were like ice water in the face. It just, you know, it's just refreshing. And one more email, another way to get hold of the Corporation DVD, deepdiscountdvd.com. Our correspondent says, I buy all my DVDs here when I don't rent them at Blockbuster Online. deepdiscountdvd.com. And you could probably go through a couple of the links at Ben Birch's site at whiterosesociety.org and get it as well. And Ben gets a small commission when you do that. That's it. Thanks, everybody. How special you do make this. I came in here at the front end of the evening thinking, you know, let's just talk. Let's pretend that we aren't living in a nightmare. And we talked, and it feels good. I feel better at the end of these 3 hours than I do going into them. And that is entirely a function not of anything I do, but of everything that you do. And you have my undying admiration and appreciation for that. So what do you say we do it again tomorrow night? I'll be here at 7:06 Eastern. You'll be here too. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Back from her day off. Some day off, I know. Coffee breaks over. Back on your head. It was announced by our good friend Brian Reznor. Randy Kerbway engineered our studio setup. Our dear, dear friend Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org maintains the stream for this program that you listen to. He also maintains the archives of this and many, many, many other wonderful